Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is a very rainy February 14th.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Mm-hmm. There you go. Hearts are filling the air today.
Yeah.
Even with the rain.
Yep.
We're getting some major rain here.
Yeah, I did not enjoy the drive here at all.
No, huh?
No.
I know. You know what? I drive here now that I live farther. It takes me about 20 to 30 minutes to get
right.
Up, okay? But the traffic moves. It's slow, it's stop and go, but it moves.
Yeah.
Once I get to the 405 from the 101, the traffic is stopped. I don't know how these people can make it going like 20 miles a day where you're crawling at 5 miles an hour barely.
Yeah, though, I mean, they probably have a certain amount of time put into their schedule.
I know,
for
but
reason.
Can you sit in traffic like that for that long?
You got to do what you got to do.
I don't know. I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah, I would. If I had to do this, I would move closer to where I work.
Yeah.
Or work closer to where I live.
Yeah.
Something
one
like
of
that.
One of the two.
Yeah, but don't make me take the 405 shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the traffic situation in LA. And for those of you who don't know, when it rains here, it's 10 times worse. And our office is half flooded, and I have actually rain dripping on me right now as we speak, and I have this thing so I can keep wiping off the chair, but I can essentially sing, "Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head."
Yeah, literally. yeah, I think we have like 2-3 more days of this.
Yeah, look at this. I mean, water all over me. But, you know, the show must go on, mm-hmm. Danny, you know?
Yeah.
So today we have an excellent guest in the studio. We'll get to him in just a moment. We are continuing with the Oscar nominees. Are you Oscar nominee? Yeah, yeah. I'm not letting you talk yet, but okay. I just had to make sure I could promote this. Yeah, nominated for an Academy Award. It's right there in the headline. Duh. And besides, Catherine always sends us the potential winners, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll get to Jeremy in just a second. What about Valentine's Day? You have any plans? Anybody invited you out?
Nothing? No. And if a guy invited me out to eat today, I'd say no.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that commitment with you when I don't like you.
Yeah.
Because if I liked you, we would already have plans.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Fuck. I feel like if anyone has the balls to ask me out today, it's like, wow.
Right.
You are brave.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, well, very cool, you know, so... I wanted to, just a couple things before we get on to the interview. First of all, the big news right now, breaking news, is the police claims or the prosecutor claims that he has a tape that shows R. Kelly having sex with a teenage girl, underage girl.
I mean, is it the old tape where he peed on her?
No, this is something new, supposedly.
Oh.
Yeah, 14 years old.
If
there's a tape, man, he's dead.
Well, there was already a tape and he got away with it. So.
Really? How?
He was pissing on a 14-year-old and he got acquitted. I don't know how.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, geez. Like literally pissing on a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
While engaging in other sexual activities.
Really?
If a man ever pissed on me, like people would find his body. He'd be dead.
No, but he would have to ask you for permission.
No, he didn't.
He didn't?
No.
How disgusting.
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, he chose you. He's just doing this to humiliate her.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a power. Well, first of all, he's like a 31-year-old man sleeping with 14-year-olds.
Right, right.
He has to be one of the most insecure people on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
And first of all, I think about what I look like when I was 14. No grown-ass man on this planet should have found me attractive.
Well, that's not the question.
I was still wearing like butterfly clips and like blue eyeshadow.
But that's not the question. He's just a fucking nut, you know?
No, but he's clearly attracted to young females.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. That's not normal.
No, 110%. Right. He's not a normal guy.
He's not a normal guy. Yeah. He's a nut. And if indeed, I mean, I don't like to judge people. And
I did not see that headline. That's why I'm like, are you sure it's
new? Yeah, because it just came out. Yeah, it just came out right now. Breaking news. Avenatti, who is the prosecutor, claims tape shows R. Kelly having sex with the underage girl.
Or does it say when the tape was? I swear that's just like the old tape.
No, I'm telling
I didn't
you,
see one not. Headline about that this morning. I'm usually
because it just came up now. Hmm. Like, yeah, they're saying it's actually a VHS tape, so it would be old.
Yeah, all his old tapes. He had a bunch of old tapes with a bunch of little kids.
Wow. I mean, you know, I don't know. If I committed any crime, I would not want it on tape.
Well, he's a narcissist. Shows
you, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's a, you know, he's deranged. I mean, to do this kind of shit. And, you know, it's just like rape, you know. I mean, the thing is,
that is rape.
You ruin the girl's life. Mm-hmm. You know,
because she probably thought it was normal, but now that she's an adult and everyone's telling you that's not normal, now she's messed up.
That's why they say it's statutory rape, because there might be no resistance on the girl's part,
right?
But it's still rape because
she's
not
an
age of
consent. Can't really understand
consent.
Yeah, you can't understand what you're getting yourself into at that age,
right?
Especially with the celebrity, because they're probably just like, oh, this guy's super famous,
yeah,
and he wants to sleep.
It's illegal
with me.
To have sex with anybody who cannot give consent. You know,
yeah.
Which is animals too. You know, that's why it's illegal.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, I
dead bodies. You know, the woman that got pregnant while she's mentally dead or vegetable or something. Remember that?
Yeah,
and that's pretty heavy stuff. But but they can't give consent. That's why it's illegal.
But you notice that like probably 95% of rapes are committed by men. It's not like the other way
around.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Probably 99.9.
Yeah.
What do you mean 90?
I think like a 1% of maybe females commit rape.
Yeah, and you know what? And it's usually with younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
like
don't
teachers.
Understand. Right.
Yeah.
So a woman just doesn't rape a man. I mean, it's not about that. You know.
But it's like, if you think about it, 99% of men are doing this. It's just, how high of a percent of men are this fucked up?
No. That's not what it means.
No, but I'm saying, how many... Just think about all the rapes that are committed daily. Let's say probably 500.
Okay.
That seems low.
Right.
But
let's
that
say,
means
okay.
500 rapists, which is 500 men,
right,
are out here committing these crimes.
Right.
Getting away with it.
Right.
How many fucked up men are there? That's why I'm like, I'm good. I'm glad I'm alone for Valentine's Day. I don't trust none of y'all.
Oh, God.
I'll eat by myself.
It all depends on where you hang out. I'm telling you, you know?
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, you got to think of it that way. Even the clubs and stuff, think of them as like Southeast, you know, what do we call it? Like Southeast LA, right? Which is the shitty area.
Right.
All right. So you can walk there or you can walk in Beverly Hills and feel real safe.
Right.
So there's places where you can be where you're not going to be with a bad crowd.
Right.
So you don't hate all the guys and afraid of all the guys.
I really don't trust anybody, though, even when I go out. Like, if I'm in a VIP section and a guy's like, can I get you a drink? I'm like, I'll pour it myself.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
no one's
if you
pouring,
don't know
yeah,
them.
No one's pouring my drink in the club.
Right.
If you want to buy me a drink, I'm going with you.
Yeah.
I don't trust anybody. House parties, never touching a drink.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're with strangers.
Yeah.
But once you meet somebody and you know them, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the case there. And also, I wanted to bring up the fact that Amazon, you know, they planned on opening a big headquarters in New York.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that's a big deal because they provide a lot of jobs, a lot to the economy and everything. Right. But, of course, a lot of people complained and opposed it. So Amazon now announced they're pulling out of New York. So now let the New Yorkers think of how much money and employment they lost and... you know,
I think Amazon would lose its value if they opened a storefront, if I'm going to be honest with you.
No,
so I get
they
it.
Have they have storefronts. Did you know that?
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
But nobody talks it. Like, no one's like, I'm going into Amazon today.
Right, because they don't have that many, but they do. Mm. You know, like, actually, if you go to Century City, they have one.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was
you
just an online
to the mall.
Thing.
And it's pretty cool because you actually can't pay cash. It's just with a credit card, with your Amazon account. And it's pretty cool, actually,
right.
You know, so you go there and it's not as big as Barnes & Noble, but they have, you know, selected books
and
stuff.
I just feel like Amazon is too big to have a storefront. They have literally everything in the world
on
there. So how do you put that into a store?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They just did like Amazon books and there's a selected
right.
Few books
there. Oh, so it's just books.
Just books.
Okay, yeah, that doesn't count. Yeah. That's why nobody talks about it.
Right.
Nobody cares.
Shut up.
Nobody.
You see, I know about it because I like books. It's all about priorities in your life, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it's like all these people complaining, yeah, Amazon doesn't pay taxes. I mean, this and the thing is
they don't pay taxes on what?
Like, it's all bullshit, you know? I mean, the thing is, it's anti-capitalists that are doing this, you know? And it's like bullshit, you know? Bring on the business. Bring on the jobs. Bring on the, you know?
I think they, that
they
if they opened
it was a great opportunity for them.
It's too big of a store to open a storefront.
No, but I'm not talking, we're not talking storefront. We're talking second headquarters. Oh, you thought they were opening a store?
Yeah.
No, the headquarters.
Oh.
Which is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not just a store.
Oh, like where they plan stuff.
Sorry, I misunderstood you.
Yeah.
From
I thought you meant like people could go in there and buy like slippers and stuff.
No. This is the headquarters. Like they need a central place, another central place to run their offices and operations and stuff.
Oh, do it in LA.
That's 50,000 jobs.
Yeah. That's a lot of jobs.
That's a lot of jobs.
That's a lot of people in one building.
Yeah. Well, that's our politics. What are you going to do? All right. Well, we're going to bring on our guest right now. And we're joined by a filmmaker who is also, and the reason I say also is because we already covered a couple of the films that are going for the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this time Jeremy Cohn. Did I say that correctly?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So I would imagine at first your film is called Fauve, right?
Yep.
And I thought... at first you were French, but then I discovered quickly that you're Canadian.
Right.
Where in Canada are you from?
From Quebec, so the French part of Canada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. But your English is perfect because in Canada people speak both languages.
Right. Yeah, Montreal is very bilingual, actually. Like, everybody speaks English and French, but if you go a bit more in the countryside, then everybody mostly speaks French there.
Mm. Yeah. Very cool. And let's just introduce the publicist. Remind us who you are real quick.
Calvin Bond.
Calvin, yes, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Calvin came here to improve the vibe in the room.
That's right.
It's always nice to have a full house.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, but we're definitely focusing on Jeremy today and his film. First of all, congratulations for being nominated. It's a big deal, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
It's, 1 of 5.
Yeah,
a big deal.
Yeah, it's a childhood dream for sure.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you grew up in Quebec, right? And what was it like for you there? I mean, so you grew up like in a French environment, right? I mean, everybody was speaking French. There was not really much English, right?
Yeah, no, totally. Like, I actually grew up very much lost in nature in the countryside.
Oh, not even in the city?
No, like the closest house was like 1 kilometer away.
Whoa.
So
that sounds like a horror film.
I would love that.
Yeah, I loved it. I think it was formative years of just being very connected to nature.
Mm.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, and then like when I was high school, then I moved to the city. So.
Oh, okay, cool. And do you have brothers and sisters?
3 older sisters.
Oh, really? So he's the baby boy in the family.
Baby boy, yeah.
Wow. Were you babied growing up? Probably, right?
Yeah.
Everybody took care of you.
Yeah. But at the same time, as a boy, you know, like, I want to be part of with my sisters, and they're always talking together. And like, but a bit later on, I became best friends with my sisters. So, I love them so much.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That's cool. Now, you know, I always wondered when you have sisters, did that make it easier for you to deal with women, or worse, or?
I guess so. I mean, like they taught me so many things, and like they're such great inspirations to me, and I always come back to them, and I have such open, you know, communication.
That's cool.
So yeah, I think like it helped me to be more sensitive and more understanding, and. Yeah, and I always could go to them and ask them questions. And
That's cool, you know, because I would have my sisters as my wingman or something, you know, and just go with me.
Right.
You know, but because I sure was raised with the understanding that girls are not interested in sex, they're not interested in anything, and I'm like, so it became like something that guys want and girls don't want. That's how I was raised, you know, and that sucks.
Mm.
You don't want to think that way. I think if I had sisters, I would have understood something totally different.
Probably not now.
No.
You probably would have thought the same thing.
You think?
I don't think until you get like older do you have that conversation with your brother. Like I, in high school and stuff, I'm not going up to my brother like, hey, I'm having sex this weekend. Just want to let you know.
Yeah, no, but if you felt like, God, I can't, I feel I can't approach these girls, you know. She might say to you, well, do this, say that to her, you know.
Oh,
whatever.
You mean like you could have gotten female advice.
Right. Mm. That's what I was asking.
I guess for me it's been deeper than that in terms of like just understanding, you know, like just being close to my sisters made me understand better.
Right.
Women.
Yeah. How to interact with them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what I was asking.
Especially three women. So. That's a lot.
Yeah, and you hear them talk about like how bad it was with that guy, what he did and everything. And they're, you know, like, and then you understand, oh, yeah, I should not do that. I should be interested. I should,
Know. Exactly, yeah.
Very cool. So when you moved to the city, was it the whole family or just you?
The whole family. The whole family. Well, in high school, yeah. And then after that, like, I studied university, so I moved to Montreal.
Oh, I see. Mm. Okay.
It's like a three-step process.
Yeah. Very cool. And before Montreal, where did you guys move to? What city was it?
It's called Sherbrooke. It's a town.
Sherbrooke?
In Eastern Township, yeah.
Oh, wow. So it wasn't a big deal, but for you it was moving up quite a bit from the country, but it's no Montreal.
No, that's it. It was like a transitional period, and I like skateboarder, so it was perfect because now I could like go to skate parks and I could go hang out with friends.
Right.
So, because before, like, I was on dirt road. So basically, like, I built my own little skate park, like, in nature, and, like, I could skate it in the dirt road, but there's no asphalt, you know? I was dreaming of asphalt.
That's funny. Wow. You never think about these things, you know? Wow. So you grew up to be a skater without having paved roads, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. So what, did you do a lot of it at home, inside the house and stuff?
Like a bit in the basement, but also outside, like my father helped me to build like a little ramp and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So it was funny every time like the bus was pulling in my driveway, like all the kids were like looking through a window. Ah, you got a ramp. Like, you know, they were so amazed by it. But so like my father helped me to build it so I could skate a bit there.
Very cool. So and then you got to college. What did you do there? What did you study in college?
In college, I studied cinema, film production.
Oh, really?
In Montreal. Yeah.
So it interested you early on in your life.
Yeah, I mean, since I'm 11 years old, I want to be a filmmaker.
Really?
So yeah, even from the countryside, I knew that's what I wanted to do. Such a big passion for me, yeah.
Yeah. So you grew up, actually, cameras were easy to get a hold of and to film, right? To make movies when you were... how old were you in college, for example? Or not in college, when you were 11. For example, what? Yeah.
When?
How old were you when you were 11, right?
How old were you when you were 11? Yeah.
I'm trying to find out what year it was, actually, see where technology was at the time.
Technology. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it was in 2000. So
So there were no iPhones yet or anything.
No.
Did you have like video camera? Your parents got you one or?
I started like working when I was 11, like in fields, like picking strawberries and like. Pull out like the bad leaves and stuff around plants, you know, very hard work.
Is that legal? 11's like really young.
I mean, I don't know if it's legal, but my parents pushed me to work, you know, that was the deal. Like, my parents were nuts.
Damn, your parents need to chill.
It's called living.
Yeah, they didn't have that much money, so like, they couldn't afford me anything.
Right.
So, that was the only way I could actually buy myself stuff.
Yeah.
So I started working very young, and then I bought my first camcorder, like first grade of high school. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of fun with it. All right. So, and then you decided what? You're going to move to where? Did you stay in Montreal after school?
Yeah, it's been more than 10 years now.
Oh,
in Montreal. Yeah.
You're pretty young, right? You're in your early 30s?
28.
Okay, so you're almost there.
Almost.
And so college wasn't that far a long time ago. That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, college was like 7 years ago, right? Like you graduate when they're like 21, 22.
It's a bit weird in Quebec because there's this thing after high school we all go to. It's called Cégep.
Uh-huh.
It's like transitional school between high school and college.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, well, it's a bit weird. But
I'd be pissed.
That's actually very popular outside of the United States.
Oh my God. It prepares you. Horrible. Yeah. Just like, let's get it over with.
It prepares you, I guess. That's the mentality. It prepares you for college. And at that time, you know, I was still hesitating because I was like, it's a big risk to go in this business. It's very competitive. It's very hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided I need to try. I'll always regret it if I don't
try. And now you're nominated. So there you go.
There you go. So we want to find the way really to this nomination. And so when did you decide to make this film? I mean, how did it come about for you?
Well, like the real genesis comes from when I was a child, actually, when I was growing up in the countryside. I had those dreams. I'm going to spoil it, but I was seeing myself sinking in quicksand. And I think it was very, you know, popular in films at the time and stuff. But it was that feeling of anxiety, of claustrophobia, you know.
Right.
Yeah, like the sand is sucking you in, right?
Yeah,
it's because the nearest house is 1 kilometer away. That's why.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're there, you're gone.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, so after that, like, those dreams kept coming to me. And I thought, like, 4 years ago, that I need to do a story about, like, my childhood. Something is also, like, you know, as boys, there's this thing where there's, you know, strong rivalry. Sometimes it's like toxic masculinity, you know, like you need to prove yourself to each other. And there's like the two boys, like in the film, are pulling pranks at each other, and one prank goes too bad, wrong.
Uh-huh. Right.
So it's all that idea. I wanted to explore like a kind of cruel childhood with parts of innocence in it, uh-huh, like, and with lyrical elements of my dreams, basically.
Wow.
That's cool.
Very cool. So you sat down and you wrote the screenplay for this?
Yeah. Yeah, for like when I had some time in there, because I'm doing commercial work too. I'm doing music videos. I have like a lot of other projects. So just, you know, after work, I worked on it.
Really? So it was a side job here, and here you're nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder, you know, I mean, what the hell. So you see, I mean, you can always do this, you know, that it's just a question of, I guess, really believing in yourself.
Yeah,
that you can do it, right?
Totally. So wait, I'm just a little confused. So your movie is based on you as a child, but it's obviously the main character is a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's a 12 years old. It's not really based on me. I mean, like, it's based on dreams and it's like ideas of my little elements of my childhood.
But, right.
Like,
right.
It's all very fictional.
Right.
If I can say something, something that's very interesting that I like about the movie and about what we're talking about is he actually personified a phobia. You know, so a lot of kids have phobias growing up about different things, and he took that, personified it, and it kind of brought us into that. Which is something to be appreciated.
What is the phobia in the movie?
Well, I mean, like, it's nature itself, like quicksand. And it's interesting because I was talking to my sister yesterday, and she was like, you know what? I think I know why you did this film. And really? I was like, what? Seriously? Tell me. And then she was like, when you were about 5 years old, we're coming out from a trip in the country, and we stopped by Open Mind, and my mother came with us and told us to not go in those.
Ah.
It was very dangerous. There's some quicksand there, you know? And I think it really played with my imagination. And I know my sister told me she was so afraid. And she was very interested, like, in the ride coming back home.
Uh-huh.
She was asking more questions to my mother. Like, what is it, quicksand, blah, blah, you know? And I think it maybe stuck with me.
It was etched in your mind. There's no doubt about it, you know?
That's got to be, like, the worst death ever.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
He's like, he gets like all nervous and sweaty. You just mentioned it. So you still have that, right? I mean, you still feel that?
I think not necessarily quicksand. I think like I know exactly. Also, it's adult cannot really die in quicksand. It's more children, because it's like math, right? It's like depending of the mass of the quicksand and the mass of the children. It's like it needs a very particular kind of situation for that to happen. So it's pretty rare.
Doesn't it just like suck you in though? Like you can't get out, right? Unless someone's there to save your ass.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially children, because they're very light. So, and if they move, they're going to go deeper. And there's some case that happened, like,
terrible. Terrible death.
Yeah, but for me, I think it's more this idea of anxiety, of claustrophobia, to feel stuck.
Right, like stuck, not being able to, Do you feel like that sometimes in traffic, too, when you see I feel like that. Like
the 405.
Yeah, exactly.
For real,
like,
for real.
Like, I can't get out of here, man.
Yeah.
You know, even if you wanted to. So, yeah, that's pretty confining that way. What about flying? Does that affect flying where you feel you can't really...
No.
No control.
I don't care at all flying.
Really?
But I think physical... it's more psychological, being squeezed psychologically, but like all physical, you know, I got involved in a crazy motorbike accident last year, almost lost my life, and I was still being like, I'm not too afraid, you know, I'm like, okay, this is physical. Physical things, I'm not too afraid of.
Right.
I hope you don't ride bikes anymore.
So it's your mind you're afraid of, right?
My mind,
what goes on in your mind.
Exactly.
That's very interesting, you know.
So I do feel like your mind does play tricks on you.
Right.
Though.
And you've obviously got a wild imagination because, I mean, that's one, like, it's so random to be afraid of quicksand, you know, don't you think?
I mean, do you ever
think about it?
There was a movie, I forget, I think Dennis Rodman was in it. And there was a quicksand scene in it, and I've been petrified of quicksand ever since.
Yeah, but you don't like sit and obsess about it.
Right? I don't sit in my living room and like.
You don't make movies about it.
Yeah,
but I don't think his movie is necessarily about quicksand. I think it's about the idea of that you could be sucked in, and there's nothing that can save you. Basically,
right. Exactly. Yeah. It's a metaphor of sin of mind. Basically, it's not necessarily the quicksand.
I think that could like pretty much describe anxiety on a regular basis. Like I've been having really bad anxiety in the middle of the night every single night at 3 a.m.
Wow.
And it's like unexplainable. I don't know why I'm having it, but I feel that feeling like where I'm like, okay, I'm like suffocating right now, and there's no stopping it.
So you got to wake up at that point because when you're sleeping, your mind really. Plays tricks on you, you know, if you're half asleep.
It almost feels like you're like on a roller coaster ride or you're about to get on one. It's happened for the past week.
Maybe there's things that you think about that give you anxiety.
Or sleeping about or dreaming about. But I don't remember any of my dreams. I just wake up at the same time every morning with anxiety.
Wow.
Yeah.
You see, the mind is pretty complex.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so tell us a little bit about the story. I'm really, and I guess you don't have to be afraid to reveal the story because...
People can't see it unless they're watching the... Short.
Is this like anywhere? Can people see it?
We had to remove it during the Oscar season.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. But after that?
After that, it'll be back online, yeah.
Okay, good. But let's talk a little bit about it because I'm really curious. You guys, if you want to see the trailer, you can go to, I guess, on Vimeo. Just search for Fauve, F-A-U-V-E.
Is that the name of the kid? Or does what does that mean?
Oh, yeah. So we were going to talk about this.
Right.
Tell us what it means. It's a French word, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Like the literal translation would be wild beast.
Wild beast.
Yeah. And I really like the way it sounded. It's a very primitive word. And my film is so much surrounding nature, animals. You know, there's something very rough with it.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then like in French, it also means a color, a burnt orange.
Mm.
And that color has a huge signification in the film. And it's also an art current that's called Fauvism. And Fauvism, you know, it's the 1960s. This like artist would paint very vivid landscapes. In my film, there's that, like the last shot is basically almost like a painting of Fauvism. That's how I see it, you know?
It is. Yeah. I mean, when I look at the trailer and stuff, you got some big shots there of like nature, big shots of nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, like it looks like a big budget thing. Usually, you know, with the short films and stuff, it's one, two actors just in one room, no budget or anything. But did you have a budget for this? I mean, how did you
in Canada, we have access to grants.
I know, you know? God. I was just saying the other day how I wish they had that here so I could do my movie. Like,
yeah, no, totally.
My sweater is soaking, by the way. I'm like right under the dripping. I just realized.
I keep seeing it fall
it's
down.
It's soaking.
That's
I'm sorry. Go on.
Yeah, so, well, we have access to public funding in Montreal, so it's perfect, you know, to launch filmmaker's career. So, I applied. We got like funding, so we could, you know, like it's
so
a
basically,
big
the people on the panel have to think that your movie's got some type of, you know, they gotta like your movie to fund it, right?
Yeah, no, it's super competitive. It's very hard. They only pick like 4 or 5, so I had to apply many times, and it's very not given.
Mm-hmm.
But at least there's that. So
So
they liked it, and now. Basically, it was like in and out, like a 4-year process. So,
really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, damn.
Very nice. Now, the boys, there's two boys in the movie, right?
Yeah.
They're friends? They're very close friends, right? And you mentioned something about them playing like practical jokes on each other.
Yeah, they're pulling pranks at each other. They're playing a game like it's a power game almost. You know, they want like, but it's super rough in between them. I mean, the two boys, what's crazy, they're coming from the area we're shooting. So when we auditioned them the first time acting, and they didn't know each other before, but just like a natural chemistry
happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did you film this?
It's like 3 hours from Montreal in the countryside, like an old abandoned town. Well, the town is still living and stuff, but there's a bunch of old mines all around. It's like piles of dirt. It looks very surreal.
Right. And they end up in that dirt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what you essentially see in the trailer.
Does one of them die in the quicksand?
I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah, don't spoil it. She starts a movie from the end. So.
Yeah, I always Google the ending before I watch it. Always, yeah.
She needs to know the ending. You see, everybody asks her, seriously?
Yeah, every single person's like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, I Google it. Like, I know what's happening before it happens. I'll still watch it, and I'll still like, enjoy it.
Right.
I just have to know what's happening, especially horror films.
Right.
I'm like, all right, who's dying? Or if I get attached to a character, I'll stop the movie, Google, and find out if my character dies.
But if there's a twist in the movie, you're not going to enjoy it because you know the ending already.
You still enjoy it.
How?
I don't know. I just
you
do.
Know, I mean, but the twist is what makes
every
it.
Every single movie I've ever watched, besides ones I see in the theater, which I don't do out here because I have no one to go to the movies with, I Google the ending, and I still enjoy them.
Yeah. But let me give you the classic example, okay? What's classic example?
Yeah, I was like, what classic example?
You see, that's what I... Oh, God, man. It gets me every freaking time. Okay. One of the major, most famous twists in movies, okay? The Sixth Sense.
Yes.
Right? Have you seen The Sixth Sense? With Bruce Willis?
Of course I have.
Okay. So you know the twist, right?
I didn't need to Google that one. I knew he was dead the entire time.
Really?
Yeah. The entire time I knew he was dead. Wow. There's some movies where I can like literally watch the first 15 minutes and know exactly how it's going to go. And then I won't Google because I want to know that I'm right throughout the entire thing. It's movies that give me anxiety. Like Equalizer 2.
Uh-huh.
I had to like Google how it ended.
Yeah.
But it was still really good. I still loved it from beginning to end. Good. I'll watch that one 20 times too.
Good. Well, see, it works.
Yeah. I guess so.
Now, the boys... Did you look for a certain look for them too? Because they look kind of like skinny and shaved head and stuff, you know? They look kind of weird, no?
Oh my God.
No,
Sam.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't see it. Right. I don't know.
But I don't think, it's weird.
Hold on a second. No, I guess not. It's just one guy has like a shaved head.
Yeah.
Well, most little kids have buzz cuts.
No, but this is shaved head.
I mean, for me, it comes from my childhood, what I saw, you know, like, as a boy growing up in the countryside. So it is boys, you know, like how they're dressed and how they look has been inspired from that time of mine.
Yeah,
so I didn't question it too much.
That's why I was saying, you know, it looks like a certain period. It's not from now, right?
Yeah, it's super intemporal. Like even the car, we wanted like 90s, 2000 car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like we don't really know what era, where, like when you watch the film, it's very children like world where there's no adult, but just the adult and one adult at the end. So it's like,
wow, that's a lot of story to tell. How long is the story? The movie?
17 minutes.
17. Wow. And so let's get a little bit about the practicality of this whole thing, because what I'm the logistics of it all. First, tell us, did you direct and produce and write and
I wrote, directed, and edited the film, but didn't produce.
Okay. So who did you get to help you with the film? Who are some of the people? Do you want to give a shout out?
Yeah, for sure. Well, my producers, Evren Boisjoli and Maria Gracia Turgeon.
That's just one person?
No, that's
not true. That's definitely two.
They're amazing. My cinematographer, Olivier Gosso, I mean, it's so amazing to work with him.
Very nice.
So many times just cutting and trying to find the right angles and stuff.
And how did you meet with these people? How did you find them?
I work with them like on filmed in the past, like short films. I met my producer in university, Concordia. Did commercials, a lot of commercials with my cinematographer. So I think it's all like from past collaborations.
Right.
And you guys just had this idea, and who knew 4 years later you'd be going to the Oscars. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's why anyone approaches me with a crazy idea, I'm like, I'm in. I'm in that bitch. Count me in.
Yeah, you cannot expect those kind of things.
No, you can, but you just never know. You really never know.
Well, if you don't have a date, she'll go because she'd love to go to the Oscars.
I'd be a wild Banshee in there.
Yeah, right.
Running up and down the aisles. Like, what's up?
I know, getting all the attention. Oh my
God. Who's putting me in one of their movies?
So, for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Jeremy Comte. No, Comte?
Comte.
Comte.
You're right.
Comte.
Yeah. It sounds like the C word. I giggle like every time.
Comte.
Oh, like a fancy way to say it.
Right, but it's C-O-M-T-E.
Okay.
Okay. But there's people that have it C-O-N-T-E, like Conti, right? Like Italian or something.
C-O-N-T-E, yeah, but it's pronounced Conti. It's completely different.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty close, you know. Mm-hmm. But since it's French, it's Comte, not Comte.
Is the movie in English or in French?
It's in French.
Okay.
It's in French. Subtitles?
Subtitle, yeah. It's like in Quebec, we use a lot of English words too, and when we speak. It's always like half French, half English.
Oh.
Yeah, like we're so influenced by, you know, like the rest of Canada and the United States.
Right.
Yeah, so people actually understand what they're saying, right?
For
French people.
Sometimes we would not say like the French thanks.
Uh-huh.
We'll go just thanks, you know, but even though we're speaking French. Right. So there's like certain words sometimes that we just use in English.
Yeah. I think Spanish people do that too. They'll say all Spanish and then throw a couple English words in there. I'm like.
Yeah, that's true. But because, languages borrowed words all the time, obviously. Yeah. But what happens when people don't speak French? How are they going to understand the movie?
It's subtitled in English.
Oh, so okay, cool.
That's like on Netflix too, because there's so many movies on Netflix that are in different languages, but they have the subtitles. Right. I've catched myself watching them sometimes.
They mix languages all the time in some movies too, right?
Yeah.
But it'll only be like one or two words in English, and the rest you have to be like really concentrated on the subtitles.
But you know, I like subtitles more than I like when they dub the film with voices.
Oh yeah, no.
You know, because that's like for kids, horrible. They can't read, you know, and you never get the real voices of the actors, you know. It's there's people, a voice acting.
Like a Spanish HBO, I think. So they'll take like an American movie, like Fast and Furious, and then you put on the Spanish, and I'm like, come on.
Oh my God.
Come on.
They do that. You know?
That's tough, man.
Not everybody can read, you know? No.
True.
Yeah.
True.
That's why they do it. And some people don't enjoy reading while they watch a film. I mean, let's admit, it's a little more effort to watch a film when you have to read the subtitles.
And it's like the subtitles don't go as fast as how they're speaking. So it's like you're still reading the subtitle when they're about to start their next conversation. It's like, I give up. Right.
But if you think about it, think about Kung Fu movies. I don't know if you all were ever into those, but
I've seen like a couple.
Like Bruce Lee.
Yeah, like
and
exactly. You love the action, but you could pick up, even if you didn't understand what they were saying, you could follow the storyline. But the subtitles just brought it in. It made it much better.
Yeah.
But I think in those movies, didn't they dub those or did they have subtitles? Do you remember? I guess it depends on what country it is.
Yeah.
You know?
I've definitely seen a couple that have been dubbed. Yeah. For sure. And I'm like, this is awful.
Yeah.
This is awful. And the English voice does not match like how you would imagine them sounding. Yeah. I'm like, this is awful.
And the fact that their mouths are still moving after they finish talking, it's like, okay.
I think you lose like the essence of like acting and storytelling and stuff by dubbing. You know, growing up like so young, I started watching films in English, original language, because in Quebec it's all dubbed in French.
Right.
Most commercial films, but I guess you get used to it after a couple of films. It becomes more and more common. You know, just like now with Roma. It's a Spanish film that's nominated Best Picture, but also Best Foreign Film.
Right.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Wow. Very interesting.
So do you have an acceptance speech written out, or are you just going to, like, wing it?
No, I need to write it down. It starts form
sink in, huh? It starts to sink in that you actually go to the Oscars?
Yeah. And it's very intense because there's a lunch at the Oscars, and they showed you, like, the perfect kind of speech. Uh-huh. You know, like, and they tell you after 45 seconds.
They start putting the music on.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So you need to, you know, you need to be very careful. You need to be prepared.
45 seconds is not long at all.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Actually, but if you're prepared, I guess, you know, you have all. It's not long at all. No.
But it's long enough.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. You don't want too long, you know?
Exactly. It's yeah. Like,
tell us
time.
Thank you. Thank the people that you want to and get the
I always feel bad stage. When I'm watching it and then they put the instruments on. I'm like, damn, that poor guy.
You have to do like Kanye West and say, this will be the time to stop the music.
Yeah, yeah. Excuse me, I'm not done yet.
Exactly.
But then they have certain people that accept awards and they never put the music on. Like Meryl Streep, they're never sure. Putting the music on for her.
Right.
Ever.
Well, you know, they own Hollywood, all these big mm-hmm. stars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody kisses their asses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what can you do, you know. So the last few minutes I wanted to, let's talk about you preparing for the awards now.
I heard you said earlier that your team's flying in soon.
Yeah, my team is flying. Well, we have a lot of events, a lot of press. It's going to be the ceremony. My mm-hmm. girlfriend is coming.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so.
So, yeah, that's amazing.
She's like, I'm absolutely going to be there.
Exactly. She the son of the Oscars. I struck gold when I met this guy.
No, she's amazing. She's a musician too, you know, so she's working on her album right now. So we're both like, it's such a creative mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she helped me style all my clothes. So,
well, there you go.
Oh, nice.
Very nice. How long have you been together?
More than 3 years.
Really?
Yeah, oh. Yeah, yeah. So but sure she's not flying in today?
No, because she's working in Toronto right now, like on her album and stuff.
Well, but, I mean, this weather isn't really good flying weather anyway.
Oh, my God. Yeah. In Montreal right now, there's a big snowstorm, like 40 centimeters of snow.
Oh.
Right. A lot of flights are delayed, canceled.
Right, yeah.
And he told me before, every time he comes to LA, it's raining, you know? I'm like, yeah. Unbelievable, true. Right?
Yeah.
No, it's
This is the most rain we've had in a while, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it's been raining for like 2 months straight.
In many years.
Yeah.
I feel like you're not getting the LA experience.
No. Yeah. You need to come when it's nice out.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it'll be fine, you know? You're going to win an Oscar, you'll be all shiny.
No, not
going with sunshiny. Yeah, not and, yeah, there you go. So,
have you met the other people in your category? We interviewed Madre.
Yeah,
he knows.
And, oh, yeah,
Marianne.
And Marguerite, yeah.
Yeah, he's staying with her actually while they're in town.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Because Marianne is on the same schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we're sharing an Airbnb.
Yeah, all of Catherine's clients are together.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Very she nice. Keep them close knitted.
So. Yeah, yeah. And she definitely knows where to hang out, right?
Uh-huh.
She helps all these people get to the Academy Awards, or
right.
I don't know how it works. Maybe the other way around, but yeah, I'm like all wet here from these drops of rain from the ceiling.
That's annoying.
Yeah, but at least I'm taking the chance and keeping the lights on, you know?
Yeah.
They came in, they said, well, it's coming from the lights, you know? Maybe you should
Or maybe you should just do your job and fix it. That's what I would have said.
Yeah. But we can't sit here in the dark. It's not fun. You know?
That would have been really awkward.
Yeah.
So tell us about your movie. It's pitch black in here.
That's funny. So I'm sure your family is extremely proud of you, everybody that knows you, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Are any of your family members coming or no? Because you can only get a certain amount of tickets, right?
Oh, man, it's so tough.
Yeah, right.
Many people wants to come, but, like, they got such limited tickets.
Right.
Yeah, but they're so happy. I think they're all going to gather together in Montreal.
And watch. Celebrate.
Nice. Yeah,
nice.
That'll be nice. And you know what? Even if you don't get the prize, I mean, look how far you've gotten. You know, I mean, you get to go to the Oscars with your film.
And you can still say on your resume, Academy Award winning nominee. That's still a big deal.
Right.
One out of five people in the entire world, that's a big deal.
It is.
When you go back, it you're like is, a superstar. You know?
Yeah.
Because you're where a lot of people want to be.
And you know, you break it into something that's mostly American, you know, because, I mean, the short film is not necessarily like an international, but they have more international films than other categories, I think, you know?
Sure.
Because they have a category for foreign films, too.
Yeah they do,
But,
they
as
do.
Far
but
as
I think those are feature films, not short films.
Right. But if you notice, over the years when we've had the short film people here, it's often from different countries.
Yeah. I've noticed totally. That too. Yeah. We had like people from Germany last year. Right. So pretty much every single person that was in the, I don't think there was one American last year.
Can you imagine like making a film here and then going to like Japan and trying to become the, you know, like win an Oscar in Japan or something? That's how it would be. Like, you know, I mean, what about all the Japanese that have done great work that come before you? But here you have the balls, for lack of a better words, mm-hmm. better word, to yeah. to submit to a to you know, to the biggest show of all.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're all influenced by American cinema. Growing up, especially the films I was watching was all Americans, you know, so it's very part of my identity, of my culture. And for sure, it's a big dream, and hopefully, you know, it will push me further, and I want to come back with feature films and
yeah, so what's that opportunity. Next?
Well, I'm co-writing a film with my best friend. It's partially taking part in Ghana. He's from, and my co-writer is Ghanaian, and partially in Quebec. So it's a parallel story that we're writing right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. This begs the question. It only now occurred to me, but why did you choose to make the film in French rather than in English? Because then you wouldn't need subtitles, right? Because most places, they show English films.
I mean, it's just respecting my identity, where I come from. And this is my first film, so I need to be close to what I know to make something good. And ultimately, for sure, I would like to do English films, English-driven films. You know, like, I'm inspired by, for example, Denis Villeneuve, which is a Quebec filmmaker. Uh-huh. I started doing, like, Incendie, Polytechnique, and ended up doing Arrival and Blade Runner here.
Oh,
so, yeah, so he has this French accent and stuff, and he comes from a small town in Quebec, and but it's so inspiring to see this.
Right.
Wow, very nice. I still would have made it in English, but
But if he did, everything happens for a reason. If he did it in English, maybe he would not be nominated in this category.
Maybe not. Yeah, that's sure. true. That's mm-hmm. true.
So it might be the whole essence of the
The combination film. Of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, don't listen to me then. You did it the right way. Look at me. I'm not going to the Oscars. You are. Don't take my advice about
subtitles. Subtitles are fine. Especially for 17 minutes. That's not long to read subtitles.
Yeah.
Can I ask him a question?
Yeah, sure.
So, having watched the film, will there be a 2.0 version of it? Because this is the type of film that you watch and you're like, okay, there has to be a part two, because we have to see on the other half what's going on with, you know, the person. So will you expand it? Will it be another short? Where are we going to go with it?
Well, I think I'm just going to leave it like that, because I think like the way I rebuild the story, it's really made for short film, short format. Don't have that much time to develop characters in that film. And there's really a full circle that's happening. And I couldn't really move it to a feature film. I think it works just well as a short. But I like that, you know, like, it helped me develop my style, my vision, and ultimately that's what I'm going to bring on to the next projects.
Nice.
And characters and that greediness and very poetic images. I know that, like, I'm finding myself more and more.
Right. Wow. So how long do you think it's going to take to write this new movie? Do you think it's going to be another 4 years?
I've been writing it for 2.5 years already.
Oh, damn.
So, and I've been going to Ghana. That's where I got my crazy, crazy motorbike accident there while I was in the north of Ghana.
Really?
Yeah. So I had like a very intense experience there with my co-writer. So, you know, we've been doing a lot of research. It's a lot of time, but we're almost there, actually. We're almost there. I think timing is so perfect. Almost there with it.
Well, very good. Yeah. Well, we congratulate you for that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. You've really accomplished a lot, man. You got to be really proud of yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. You've come a long way in a rather short time. You're young. You're not even 30 yet, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows what you're going to produce at 50, you know? By then, you'll be Steven Spielberg, you know?
For sure.
Who knows? But everybody go out, check out the film, Fauve, and that would be so I guess in the film circuit and the festivals, people can see it, right? Like, as Catherine said, right now they're showing all the short films, the nominated films.
Well, Fauve is crazy. It's been to 130 festivals worldwide.
Really?
And it won over 70 awards worldwide. And now it's screening, and like, there's Oscar shorts. They're like doing a lot of, there's a big theatrical release right now, all around the country. different theaters. So
yeah.
She said like go to Shorts TV or something, right?
Yeah. Shorts TV. Yeah. Yeah. That's where you can can watch it directly in cinema.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, guys. Kelvin, so fun talking.
Good luck.
My pleasure,
thank
as
you.
Always.
Of course. I just moved. I just realized I moved to a street called Kelvin. I just moved. It's called Kelvin.
Probably shouldn't tell people that, but.
Why? They don't know where, you know. But, and even if they do, what do I care? Did I give the street number? Don't worry about
it. They'll see you outside smoking your cigarette and kidnap you.
Well, I don't smoke in the front, okay? I smoke in the back.
It must be an awesome neighborhood.
Remember, it's a house. It's not an apartment anymore. We're playing different kind of games now. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Have a, I guess, a happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.